The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that silently spreads, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try.
Okay, well, this is Ralph Kermit Winter Road II. I'm sitting in for John Stottmiller today. And, boy, I sure hope that people have been following the cyber symposium that Mike Lindell has been putting on, because he's had some amazingly smart, brilliant patriots on there. It's amazing information. The guy doing the legal stuff, law. One was fraud and execution. I got to look that up. That was really interesting. You always learn from listening to these people. And these people, they're talking on some of these terms. I don't know, because I don't know all that cyber stuff. I do a lot of software and Adobe and Word and all that stuff, but nothing like what they're doing. They're talking programming and all that, but they're making it simple enough I can understand it and you can understand it. They stole the election. Big time. They've been stealing it for decades. Now you wonder why our country is so screwed up? And ask yourself, why aren't there more people there that want to know about the stolen election? If you haven't figured out by now, a long time ago, that the election was stolen, there's something really wrong. And I tell you what, I've sent stuff out to our, I have an email list I made of all the people that's in the Fairbanks and the Anchorage and the Kenai and the Matsuboro and all the politicians. You send something out, you don't get anything back. Nothing. Why? You put out the real stuff. I like one that could say it's anonymous. When a man who is honestly mistaken is confronted with the truth, he will either cease to be mistaken or he will cease to be honest. And I had something else, so I'll get to the caller in just a second. I heard of something coming back. Somebody was on and he was talking about in the Bible, it says, fear not 300 and some times. Fear not, yea, though I walk through the valley of fear not, it's fear. And when fear comes in, panic follows, there is no logic. Get rid of the fear. Fight. It's worth fighting for. Dan in Washington, question, comment? Washington, okay. You there?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead.
What new information has specifically as far as fraud? I don't know what happened with the recount in Arizona, but I know he starts it out saying to Israeli citizens that really he should be blaming it. So I'm not sure he's a good man or I trust him, just like
who?
Trump. So, but
oh. Who don't you trust?
New information. Mike Lindell.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Well,
where have you been? Let me ask you a question. When you say that, okay, you got to have some facts. Have you actually looked at the evidence or watched any of the movies, Absolute Truth? Or have you watched any of that? Yes or no?
No.
Have you watched
it? No, that's why I'm calling you.
Okay, well, you're not going to get what he did on the movies. The bottom line is that the thing that you have to do before you start making any decision on a judgment, gather facts. Go watch. There's even a shorter one on frankspeech.com down below with that colonel. It's about 15 minutes long. And go watch, and I'm telling you unequivocally, there is no doubt, because what he has, you know what DNA is, right?
What, hello? DNA?
Yes.
Yeah, the phone.
Okay, if there is semen on somebody that's murdered, that's in rape, and they find your blood with DNA, were on the same body to prove you were there when that person died, what do you think happens? Were you there, yes or no? The answer is absolutely, positively, there is no doubt about it. What he has is the same thing in the cyber world of where all of this stuff come from. I forget how many, it's like 30 or 40 terabytes. I mean, it's so much information of all the countries, where they come from, where they went, and the number of votes. That's called evidence.
Well,
and in the cyber world, that is equivalent to DNA. Okay?
Well, yeah, but it's not. They came out with that information during the election, too, and it sounded like very convincing, and then it was a big nothing. Like, okay, well, dying balls, the Briggs elixir.
They didn't come up with it. Oh, he, only Mike Lill. Okay, thanks for calling. Thanks for calling, because we only got a limited amount of time here. We have to deal in facts, evidence. I deal in facts. I tell you, I'll take on any lawyer, because most of them don't even know what's going on in the administrative state. They are clueless. It is not taught. Mike Lindell has his facts. He has what is equivalent to DNA. And it's a ball game over. The problem that he's running into is the whole our system has been overthrown. The media is all it is a propaganda machine of the communists and the world globalists and all these people that are soulless. That's what's so bad about being a citizen of the United States. You have no soul. And it's so easy to put the logic to some of this stuff. It talks about the privileges and immunities in the several states, diversity of citizenship in the Constitution of the United States. So now I have a question. If I, quote, have to go vote, because I don't know what the word vote means. They don't use the word suffrage, elected, franchise. That's who's entitled to do something in the building. Vote is just so you can't be discriminated to show up. If I have to be a citizen of the United States in Alaska, and I have to be a citizen of the United States, which is a qualified elector in the District of Columbia, that is not one of the several states, that is under the plenary power of Congress, that has no access to an Article III constitutional court, has no protections of taxation without representation. These are things the Supreme Court has said over and over and over. Now, if I'm a citizen of the United States in Alaska, and the guy in the District of Columbia is a citizen of the United States, and he don't have none of that, you think there might be a bit of a problem. You think? And how can I have diversity of citizenship, which is in they love that in the courts. Got to have diversity of citizenship if I'm in Alaska and I'm suing somebody in Texas. How can that be if we're both citizens of the United States? Duh. Because we are not taught to go after the government of the United States. We can take on the character Slaughterhouse Crook Shack case. The character of a citizen of the United States, and I keep using the same thing over and over, it's the same thing as a tenant and landlord. I can be a tenant, and I can go after the landlord and the character of a tenant by statutory law. But I am not a tenant. I have my birthright. My birthright is Kansas. I'm a citizen of Kansas. That's my birthright. I didn't lose it because I wanted to take on the character of a tenant. And some of the stuff is so illogical. Who makes laws of the United States? Congress. End of story. Can agencies make laws of the United States? That's a question. Real simple one for a legislator. Congress. Do agencies make laws of the United States? Article 6 says laws of the United States pursuant to this Constitution. Do agencies make laws of the United States? Yes or no? Well, if they don't, by what authority are you authorized and empowered to come even talk to me? Do you know? It's not taught. It's out there. You start doing some research, and I have, you can go to the Supreme Court case docket sheet and put in 20-1714. There's a good beginning to show that the IRS is total nonsense. And what's even worse, we don't have any constitutional courts of the United States. You know why? Because they print it. There's two cases in there that have never been up to any appellate court other than the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals that Mooney and his wife had the balls to stand and fight. It's never been in front of the Supreme Court of the United States. And when it got to the Federal Circuit, they said, oh, those are old cases. We can't look at them. They can't. There's a, just like I was listening to Mike Lindell. The thing is, they always put you off on a side issue, off point. Get these people on point. You set the narrative. How do you do it in legal stuff? Put it in quotation marks. Judicial power of the United States. They can't go there. The Federal Circuit says, oh, you're complaining about it, but they don't give an answer because they can't. Put it in quotation marks so they can't screw with it. Keep them on point. That's one of the things I've learned. These lawyers, they go off point. They go talking about something off in la-la land, and then they spend the whole thing, oh, you filed this and you did this. And who cares? It's off point. That's what's so good about Mike Lindell. He analyzed the problem. The problem is the damn machines. And China's behind most of it. And if we don't, they bought up all the movie stuff. They control the movie industry. These actors, they're unbelievable. Sports, politicians, they're bought and paid for under the control of China, including our president. You can't, look at the head of the Senate. He's married a Chinese gal, and that doesn't make it anything, but he's had a business, making business since 1993, the communist China and ships. The enemy. How can you be doing business with the enemy and be the president of the Senate? You only can serve one master. And what we have to do, which I'm going to say, so the giving gets back to an agency. By what power are you authorized and empowered to talk to me? Congress told them. Agencies. In the Federal Register Act, said general applicability and legal effect. 49 Stat 500-503, 1935. If you are a federal agency or agency, any document, anything you want to do, it's called order, regulation, rule, certificate, code of fair competition, license, notice, or similar instrument prescribed or promulgated by a federal agency. And it means federal agency or agency. And they also said that federal agency means the President of the United States. That's where he does his executive orders in the administrative state. They print it. But it says general applicability, legal effect. That is the only thing. It's got to be in the Federal Register. And it says, no document required under general applicability and legal effect to be published in the Federal Register shall be valid against any person who has not had actual knowledge thereof. So if it's not in the Federal Register, you're done, agency. And then it goes on to say the contents of the Federal Register shall be judicially noticed, and they put the complete Federal Register Act of 1935 twice in the Federal Register. And they put the whole act in. Because that's the administrative state. And the only other test they did in 1946, because they were totally out of control, these agencies. FDR loved his agencies. He loved Mussolini and his nationalist type nonsense. Denise DeSosa in his movie researched that out. That's the source of that. I had not, but that's his source, and I believe him. Under the Administrative Procedures Act, they made it, they noticeably complicated. And this is the thing that I've not basically said this, but our Congress and our agencies are our enemy. They are our domestic enemies. They no longer make laws in the United States since 1936 as public law. That's one of the issues. But they print it on the other, because why did they make it so complicated for a, quote, agency to do something? Because if they can't make laws of the United States, what do they do? They got to do something to get me to bow down and kiss their tootsies, right? Oh, it's called the force and effect of law. Oh, I get it. It looks like, but it's not. And where do I find that? Chrysler V. Brown, 1979. Bought it right out in the open. And they only have two ways to do it under the Administrative Procedures Act. That's called the predicate of the formal rulemaking and the predicate for the informal. The formal is, it says under 5 U.S.C. 553, little b is in Baker, I am going to make a substantive reg. A legislative rule, they call them too. You'll never see one. I've never seen one yet, and I've probably read thousands of them by all the years I've been doing this. So they always use the informal. Have I ever seen the informal? I've never seen one of them yet pass muster. But it wasn't until I got a hold of the Senate report, 752 done in 1946, where Congress laid out how it's supposed to work, and then I could find it in Westlaw. I knew what needles I was looking for. Why would you make that agencies would say something like this? We are going to do this because it's impractical. It's unnecessary and contrary to the public interest. Why would you say something like that if you're making, what's the predicate of the informal rulemaking? Oh, it's got to be done right now because we don't have time to go through the formal. So they say it's impractical, unnecessary, and contrary to the public interest. This is on page 14 of this thing. If you haven't seen it, you ought to read it. I'll send it to you. Just send me an email, IRS. At AlaskaMinuteman.com and say you want to see this Senate report. It's on page 14. They don't hide it. You just don't have access to it. You see, you get this stuff when you get Westlaw. You get all this legislative history and all this other junk where these SOBs are talking. Back in a minute.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
How do they do this? What I discovered. Wayne in Texas, question or comment before I get into why does anybody do the IRS? It's so blatantly simple. This stuff is simple. Go ahead.
Yeah, great, Ralph. Thank you very much. Just a couple quick things. All our lives we've been told that the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and I know in Texas our Texas Constitution are the supreme laws of the land, yet I know here in Texas and probably other parts of the country, you have county judges putting out mask orders for stores to implement and schools to push also. And basically, two-part question, how can a judge's order or mandate, which is really color of law, preempt my natural rights of life, liberty, and a pursuit of happiness? And then by what authority does a local government grant that authority to a private corporation, whether it's a store or a school or something like that? Just trying to get my ducks in a row on how to approach this.
It's actually a quite simple answer. There is something called an office to where they are to be responsible to you by a proper oath of office or civil commission. They are not holding any office. What they're doing is a lie because they are not the government. They are usurpers. Ultra-virus. They have no authority at all. Zero, zip. And, by the way, If they lack all jurisdiction, the Supreme Court says you can sue them. And I sued a judge in Alaska. Unfortunately, the guy lost his nerve down the road because this is the problem that I run into, because people get started and then all of a sudden fear kicks in and, oh, I don't want to do this no more. Or there's a wife and them, and oh, I can't do this. They don't. The thing is, the premise, you have to lay a legal foundation when you said the government, that they hold no public office. So therefore, they are not limited by anything. They can do anything they want. It's a con. That's how they get away with it. That's why we have to call them out. I've got a brief in Alaska, documented to the nth degree of how they did it. I have a Mooney case in the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals, a 998-page appendix with the complaint we filed, or petition. It lines it out, timelines it out, how they did it. It's their stuff. We are in the matrix. What we think we know is not so, something like Mark Twain said. And that's, these people do not have the authority. And the way you have to fight these guys is the paperwork. You want to see it in writing, see what they're doing. These local guys are more dangerous, basically, to prove, because they just do it. They got these ordinances and all this other nonsense, but they don't have the authority. I had a company in Anchorage for 13 years, and they're supposedly supposed to pay a tax. And I read their Article 14, and it basically said it's their property, and they wanted me to pay on it. I says, hey, I'll tell you what. I put an affidavit in every year. I will pay your damn tax if you give me the money to buy more inventory. Every year, they never bothered me again. I never paid one penny. I changed my company in 1995, and it was up to $2 million, and in 3 years it went away. But from 95 to 2001, I never paid one penny to the IRS. It can be done, but it sure takes having knowledge and backbone, and you will get beat up.
When so what's the best way to challenge these private corporations that are doing this, that they're preventing me, my natural rights by not being able to shop
Okay, your question is too broad for me to help you on the air, but what I can tell you, you send me the paperwork. And if it's the IRS, I'm working on that right now, but I'm working on a compost lawsuit. We're going to be suing FedEx, stuff that's never been done before. Never been done. And you ask yourself, why? There's two cases. One is a 1960 case. One is a 1980 case in the United States District Courts, which is judicial power of a district court. That does not equal judicial power of the United States. Judicial power is for governments, and then what's supposed to be the end of the prepositional phrase is the name of the government. The object of the prepositional phrase is the government, and the is an article, means singular. So why do we have United States district courts that are exercising judicial power of a district court? That's 28 U.S.C. 132. So I finally found it. And you know what it says? The judge represents the court, and the court is under the absolute, called plenary, power of Congress. Is that where you want to go for justice?
Nope.
It's all rigged. And yeah, I can prove it.
Absolutely. And one more quick thing. Can that Declaration of Citizenship that you had put together with your picture on it and all that, is that strong enough to pull someone out of the system to reassert all their rights to not be force-vaxxed?
It is. It's helpful. I got the IRS to get off of my back when I had sold some silver and gold. And I think I hear the music, so hold on a minute.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com, EAZEOFF.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. Ease-Off.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Heart of Texas, back in 1835, they drew a line in the sand. The folks at Gonzales had freedom on their minds. It was all because of a cannon that had kept their colony safe. But then General Santa Anna sent some Mexican troops to take the big gun away. You know what?
Well, we're back here. I'd like to hear the rest of that song here. This is Ralph Winwood, Alaska. Wayne, you still there in Texas?
Yes, sir.
Okay. The only way you fight these guys, you have to get the paperwork, and all these agencies, all of them without exception, are in the Federal Register. And they almost all of them sit outside the Constitution. And it's called the force and effect of law. And the Code of Federal Regulations is a compilation of Federal Register publications. And all of these outfits are all at some point tied in to the Federals. But it's all these local people. Some of this stuff is difficult to, like your Voter Registration Act, driver's license. I have a driver's license. I went over. I'm a citizen of Alaska. And I put it down. I changed it right in front of them, because they want to be a citizen of the United States. And that voter thing that they put in, that's strictly going to the National Voter Registration Act of 1993 to nationalize all of our elections. They did this back in 1993, before that even, but 1993 is the one they're using today. So that's, you just can't make this stuff up. It's so unbelievable. And to answer your question, if you put into the record, Evidence Rule 901, number 7, your status, the IRS stopped taking money out of, because I sold some silver and gold when my business went under. I had to sell everything because I was going down. They basically bankrupted me almost. I mean, I couldn't pay bills. That's fine. But they quit taking 15% out when I registered, when I piled in my status and I registered as a citizen of Alaska, they quit taking out 15%. So I called them up, rubbed their nose in. I want to prove it. I said, what's wrong with you folks? Why are you quitting taking 15% out? Oh, we're going to keep doing it. I said, come on, get it on. They didn't. Then what really pissed me off, the SOB IRSs didn't renew the lien. Because I wanted to go after them myself. But I'm going to get to it before I get through today. Okay?
Yeah, thanks, Ralph.
Yeah, Tom in Baltimore. And then I'm going to get to the vaccinations and the IRS. It's all tied together.
Yeah, how are you doing, sir? I was wondering, you're operating when you have an issue at controversy. Am I understanding you correctly that you're sidestepping the statutory courts or you're operating within them?
No. Okay. The only way, what I do, first of all, I don't like to deal in any state courts because they're so corrupt. Alaska's and North Carolina's is even worse than Alaska. They don't even look, they don't even pretend to read anything. You get more groundwork in the federal side, but there's no constitutional courts there. But you have to use some of the statutes, but I use them against them. But the key is, what does the agency, what are they accountable to? Go look at the Supreme Court brief that's 20-17-14. It's on the, just put it in the docket sheet and download it and read it. If you don't understand it, give me a call. Agencies are bound only and can only use regulations in the Federal Register. This is what the con is.
Right. And who do you get to rein them in using the law? I understand what you're saying about the law.
Well, first of all, if you don't bring up the right question, you'll never get the right answer. Nobody is fighting the issue. They're just laughing at us because when you go after the IRS by code, they have no authority to use code. So the courts are just running us around. The code is set to be on a merry-go-round. You can't win. That's what I was researching. Yeah, how do I hold them accountable? And what they say is, oh, well, 7433 is only for the collection side. Well, what happens if they did a deficiency rule? Oh, do a re-deficiency. Well, wait a minute here. I go back under the code. I go back to tax court. They say, oh, yeah, there's a deficiency. So then I'm right back to collections. So how do you stop this nonsense? That's the issue.
Right. And
okay, I'm going to tell you.
With these governments being incorporated, aren't they following articles of incorporation and not a constitution?
No. Here's the con. They operate in the administrative state world. And they only can operate against you and me by regulations. That's the law. They can't use code. They can't. It says so right in the Federal Register Act. And the courts, a few instances where somebody has actually brought it up, they've upheld it. So the question is, why don't I use it? And the next question is, with the IRS, it's a piece of cake. Because Chrysler V. Brown, this is the key to your vaccination stuff too, where they got human subjects, that case that was filed down in Alabama by Beecrafted Nose, by American Frontline Doctors. All of the regulations are part 301 for all of the agencies. So what does that mean? 5 USC 301. Is for internal conduct of its employees only. They're called housekeeping regulations or interpretive regs. It's like a company issuing a manual for its own employees. It has nothing to do with you and me. And if you have the Westlaw and the Federal Register, I went in and looked under human testing for human subjects. It says 5 USC 301. That's all the farther I need to go. It can't reach you and me because the law says so. But you know how many people have brought that up? Not one dang person so far.
And you've never run into being told that you don't have standing?
Pardon?
And you've never run into a court telling you that you don't have standing? That seems to be a real hurdle for so many people.
Well, that's such a broad question. They do that all the time. And the reason why, again, you have to understand what the enemy can use. The enemy cannot use code. And if you use it, they'll just run you around the merry-go. You don't have standing, because you're not talking anything that has anything to do with agencies. You're like talking a foreign law. And people don't get it, and they print it. The Supreme Court, don't hide it. I've got cases on 301 rigs in their housekeeping where people have won with it, but not against the IRS. But it's
so you
not
never
brought
up. Do you find it futile to bring up constitutional and common law?
I bring up constitutional issues as it's required, like the District Court of the United States. I put it in quotation marks. It has to exist. They have to have access to a constitutional court, and you don't have access to one. You've never seen one in your whole life because they don't exist. You know why? Because, there's no elections for them, and in the, quote, federal side, since 1948 or before 1948, I was born in 1942, they'd already made them Article 1, Section 8, Clause 9, courts under the absolute plenary power of Congress, and they print it.
Well, constitutional law being based on common law, which we seem to have lost, it seems as though we're in a statutory world, and I think, isn't that where we basically lost our rights and our constitutional courts?
No. What we have lost is the knowledge to know how to fight them. It's all there. States cannot do common law. So when you get to the courts of the United States, they can only do cases and controversies. They either do the common law or they do equity. They can't mix them. And in 1934, Congress said, hey, we're just going to do away and have it one form of action. They can't do that. They did it in 1940, they did it for the criminal. They just come out and said it. We're making rules, and we're going to mix it and call one form of action. And you know what? When they made the United States District Courts, these ones that are where the judge represents the court and the court's under the power of Congress, you know what their authority was? The district, the courts out of the territory of Hawaii, and they said it was by accepted practice. In other words, y'all been so damn stupid in web, and how would we know without the internet? How would we know? We had no idea.
We wouldn't. Even with the internet, I mean, when it comes to
we do now.
You've got to actually hunt down these cases. They're not going to tell you about them.
Well, that's what I'm telling you.
Law.
If you have Westlaw, I can go in and do a word search, and in 10, 15 seconds, I can get legislative history on the acts. I can go in and search. I know what I'm looking for, and it's right there with Westlaw. And you can't do it in a law library. End of story. Ball game over.
When you appear before court, do you ever try to challenge subject matter jurisdiction of the court?
Oh, absolutely. You betcha. Yeah, if you want to see some briefing, send me an email, irs@alaskaminuteman.com. If you really want to get some real background, it takes about 10 or 12 emails, and say you'd like to see the Mooney, M-O-O-N-E-Y, or the IRS case.
Yeah, I've heard your show once before. Did you mention that you had made available for sale collection or hard drive?
I give it away. If you hear me talk about it on the show, I'll just give it to you. Please, read it. Give it to anybody. I don't copyright. I don't do anything. I'm trying to get people. The only reason why I take donations is to keep my butt afloat. And that's what they're fighting me now, is trying to unfund me.
It might have been another show host. Someone had a vast collection of information on a hard drive that I told you.
For $250, I'll give you all my research. You have to be a member. Yeah, I'll give you 500 gigabytes. I'll give you all this congressional record stuff. There's probably $15,000 worth of congressional record information right there. There's books you've never seen and will never see because there's very few of them in existence, and I have to have a couple.
Is it information that can be used in actual court cases that would be helpful?
Sure, absolutely. You better believe it.
I will hit you up on the email. Thank you, sir.
Yep. Okay, Fred in Michigan, I guess it is. You next. Hello?
Yeah. Pursuant to the previous caller, I want to tweak his interest a wee bit. There's a fellow in Fort Worth, Sovereign Living on YouTube, Sovereign Living. He presents U.S. Supreme Court cases, state court cases, statutory code citations, definitions from various legal dictionary sources going back a couple hundred years. It's a phenomenal primer, Ralph, for what you're doing. And it also buttresses, it supports, it backs up, it augments what you're doing. And so I encourage anybody, I mean, the remedies do exist. And you've uncovered, like you said, 5 U.S.C. 301. Okay, they all exist, Ralph. They all exist as private for-profit corporations, which is why the CDC has all these patents going back to 1990 on synthetic pathogens, such as viruses.
Okay, let me stop you right there. Okay, this stuff exists, but if you have an enemy and that's what they are using, why don't you expose them? If you don't ever expose them for being liars and thieves, they just keep getting away with it. We keep going to the magic show and we keep seeing rabbits come out of the hat, and we don't ever go up and say, "Hey, you know what? That dang rabbit can't come out of that hat." Nobody's doing it.
Indeed. And Ralph, when I read the Federal Charter, U.S. Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, really strikes me, because the definition for United States is the District of Columbia and its territories. And a representative, U.S. Rep. Walter Jones, North Carolina, 2012, he introduced some legislative proposal, and he redefined his act according to the District of Columbia and the territories, and he identified the territories. So you have that corporation. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 2 says borrow money on the credit of the United States. Well, a credit rating and a credit equity value is something that is attached or affiliated with a corporate entity.
Okay, I'm going to stop you right there. Hold on. First of all, the District of Columbia is not in the Constitution of the United States. They call it the District.
The 10-mile square.
But it's called the District. What is in there is called the Government of the United States. That's in there twice. And where the government of the United States is in the district. Not the District of Columbia, the district. Okay? That's a big deal, big difference. So you can't make giant leaps of statements. Now, in the district, there is the District of Columbia that is a municipal entity. That is a true statement. They did that back in 1871. Okay. But that doesn't make what our problem is today. Whether they made a municipal entity, the home, where the government of the United States is in 10-mile square, the district. And if you track back all of this stuff, you have, number one, it's your birthright. You are a citizen of whatever state you're domiciled in. If you claim to be a citizen of the United States, that's the root problem.
Right.
It'd be like back in old Egyptian times, and the Israelites was there, and the Israelite guy said, I want to be a citizen of Egypt. Well, you lost your standing to be an Israelite.
Well, I see it, Ralph. There's the organic de jure government, which is essentially defined as common law, natural law, Ten Commandments. The organic de jure union is the organic geographic states, right? And the people of the soil who are on the soil are not entities. We occupy, we exist in a private, non-statutory, non-corporate venue. We're common law.
Okay, I'm going to stop you again. We have to have a society, and ours was all set up. You are all these several states are sovereign. And you have to be a citizen of that state. If you're going to be there to have, number one, political rights, number two, civil rights, and you also have, when you're born on the land, you have what's called natural or inalienable rights, a soul. That's what our that's our type of culture that's set up. And if you think I hear all this stuff, I'm a sovereign man, I'm a man, look, this is the way our society is set up, and there's nothing wrong with being a citizen of one of the several states, because you have the inalienable rights, and you have civil rights, and you have political rights.
Well, Ralph, a citizen of one of the several states is a live, functional man or woman, okay, on the soil. We are of the soil. That's just my phrase, of the soil. And we occupy space on the land, but we're fully alive, flesh and blood people, okay?
But so, you don't need all that. What I'm telling you, the common law covers that. If you have, you claim I am a citizen of whatever state, citizen of Texas, say. And then the only other thing that gives you, that makes you a man or a woman, is domicile. It's the word is domicile, and you only got one of them. That means you attach to the land. When you do that, you are a man and a woman or child, and you have inalienable rights, you have civil rights, and if you're of age of 18 or so, you have political rights. That's where you get all the stuff by being, it's called the law of the land, and the law of the land requires a birthright. And a birthright, just like Esau in the Bible. He sold his for some porridge and lentil beans, and the Creator was pissed at him because he lost his lineage and his property and stuff.
Yeah.
It's your birthright. This sovereign, all this other... It all sounds good, but you have to look at what we... The English law resolved all these issues. And we don't need to be...
Well, through the educational fool school system, they trick and coerce young people, as we all were once, into believing, oh, yeah, driver's ed, then I got to go apply for a permit, then I got to go get a license. And we were never taught driving is a statutory commercial activity.
Let me just stop you on the driving, because, boy, that's one I spent tens of thousands of dollars on. Do you have the right to travel? Absolutely. Do you have a right to travel in what you have, what you own, what you think you own? No. You know why? Because every brand new car that comes out, the manufacturer's statement of origin is taken over to DMV. They get you to sign away, and I have it in Alaska. If you haven't seen one, all right, title and interest, I give away the power of attorney. I give away, and I am driving a company car. They turn around and they send me back a certificate of title that says they may have a security interest in it. No kidding.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that security interest was consummated in fraud. There was no disclosure of any of this, right?
Well, of course nobody, not. The law says you can't steal my property this is actually fraud by execution is one that I think it covers, but there are several statutes in Alaska. But how many people have ever sued it? Everybody in America is driving the government's cars. You know, in the municipality of Anchorage, they print it in the code. Go to the Anchorage, Title 9. Cops can only issue tickets to government-owned or government-driven vehicles. That's what started on the quest. I couldn't figure it out, and it's so damn simple. Go to the root of the tree. Where does that car come from? I went down to Wasilla, and I got these documents, because I'd bought a lot of new cars and stuff. I never read all that junk. Did you ever read all that junk to have you sign? Hell no. You just say, oh, sign here, sign here, sign here, sign here, and they give you a temporary registration. They don't tell you they got the manufacturer statement of origin. You've probably never seen one. If you email them, I'll send you what they look like. I'll send you the copy of the contracts, that the stuff that you signed. I never read that.
Well, I was thinking, why not? Why? I'm going to create an affidavit declaring that they do not bear my authorized signature on any of their legal documents relative to registration, title, et cetera.
Well, there are ways, but it's going to take a little more than that to do all that. But what I am telling you is what you think. You don't own your land. You don't own your car. You don't even know your citizenship. And if you don't know how to prove all these things, it requires knowledge. And I have so much of it that's available. If you get and read the Mooney briefing with all the documents, it's their stuff. You see, I love confessions from criminals. Those are really
indeed.
Good.
Indeed, Ralph. Well, I'm going to have to get email set up. I'm going to get email set up, and I'm going to do just that. But I do want to encourage the previous caller to do a little due diligence and go to that Sovereign Living guy on YouTube and check out the video number 10 and 20, okay? All statutes are color of law statutes. I mean, this guy gets into history. It's amazing.
I know. Let me tell you something. A lot of this sounds really good. But until you understand the what's going on, some of these people think they're not going to be under any statutory law. They're not going to be under any constitution. It's nonsense. You have to be in a culture and a society, and you have to have rule of law. Period.
Well, that's what this guy.
Like I say, anytime I don't know this guy. I don't know why. I can debunk so many of them because I've been doing it so long, and I can give you the cases and stuff. Like I say, the courts, the older courts used to give, you would not believe what they say. You're not going to believe what's in the legislative history if you had access to it, what these congressmen, they talk about, like in the administrative state, that it doesn't apply until they put it in the Federal Register. They print it. Well, we got to go into the story, so thanks for calling, and watch out for the federal rally, and go to the cyber symposium and look at what Mike Lindell's doing, okay?
We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and take all our money and send it abroad.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.